You're listening to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, changing rock history one podcast at a time. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. My name is Lou Lombardi, a.k.a. Ludini. Today we have on Ned Sedlak from Swoon City Music, record label, music publisher. We're going to get into all that here in a minute. But first of all, you are listening to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Go to LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com. Yeah, you have to go there right now. Listen to the interview first and go there later. Go to LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com to check out all the happenings that we have. We have some great merchandise. All the stories that of the artists and music people that that we've been working with over the past few years. You can check out all that stuff. You can get signed up and we'll send stuff right out to your email. Also, you don't want to miss our music podcast, which is really exciting. We do go live every Monday on Facebook, and this is our music podcast is geared towards more towards hard rock and metal. It's the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus with my co-host Lily V6 from Rock Rage Radio and my longtime co-host Keith Hawkins. It's a good time. We usually pick an interesting topic and bust each other up over it. The audience is live. So there's a lot of fun and shenanigans, and a lot of alcohol is consumed. You definitely want to check it out. You can find out more at LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com. Okay, now today I have, as I was telling you guys, I have Ned Sedlak on the line with us today from Swoon City Music, record label, music publisher. As he founded this with a few friends, built on the philosophy of artists first and a commitment to developing successful careers for their artists in a smart, long-term, meaningful way. Guys, welcome, Ned Sedlak. Welcome to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
Hey, how you doing? Great to be here.
All right, my man.
Thanks for having me.
Cool, man. So we're going to talk a little bit about Swoon City Music and exactly what you guys do first. But why don't you give us a little bit of a background here? Who is Ned Sedlak, and why is he so passionate about music?
Yeah, so I've had a deep love for music for most of my life. I grew up listening to my parents' Beatles records, Bruce Springsteen. I started learning how to play the saxophone and the piano. I picked up a guitar in high school, and then I ended up studying music at Berklee College of Music in college. I then went on to, I moved to Los Angeles, and I started working for Warner Music Group. I worked in their publishing division, as well as for Warner Records, as an A&R assistant out there. Sort of did not vibe well with Los Angeles for the most part, and I sort of wanted to move back to the East Coast, and I've worked for independent record labels since then. And a few years ago, with a couple friends, we started, joking about how, we could start our own label, that we saw lots of people starting their own independent businesses, artists giving it a go independently themselves. And, we started to believe and outline what it is we would want to do if we started our own label. And then we quit our day jobs and we started doing it.
So what drew you to the business? What drew you to the business side of the music business?
Well, I always knew that I loved playing music and, playing instruments, but I never really felt like that was going to be how I would make my career.
Okay.
And I sort of just had this developing passion for, the business side of things. When I was in college, I launched a download store, an MP3 download store for independent artists. And I think that's sort of where I caught the entrepreneurial bug. And, that company didn't last too long, about a year. But I think I learned that that was the direction that I wanted to go in once I graduated college and, starting my own thing, doing it in an entrepreneurial way was something that, from that experience I really enjoyed and found a lot of meaning from and knew that someday I would want to do it again in a bit more of a serious way and with a lot more forethought.
With today's music business, this the landscape with, so much DIY going on.
Sure.
What does an independent record label bring to the table for an artist that they can't do themselves?
Well, there are a lot of independent artists these days that, quote unquote, don't have a label or have a label of their own. But on those teams, on the teams of successful independent artists, they have people fulfilling the function that a label would.
Okay.
So yeah, an artist could potentially do some of these things themselves, but for any artist that reaches a certain level of success, you're going to need people to be doing some things for you because there's just not time in the day.
What stuff? What things?
Some things that, you know, simple and straightforward is like administrative, you know, making sure that all the paperwork is filled out and all the copyright information is tracked and taken care of, tracking your royalties, collecting the money, you know, paying your staff. And then, you know, planning tours, the marketing for albums, the way you roll out a single or a new video. It takes a lot of planning and coordination that, yeah, an artist could do, but then they're spending their day doing all of the business side of things, and when do they have the time to be creative and be the actual artist that, you know, fuels the rest of it. So there, that on a base level, a label can help an artist take care of, you know, the many different things that go into making something work. What we bring to the table is, you know, a commitment and a passion for the music, to be that function, to be that part of the team that focuses on promoting the music, you know, making sure that it's produced well. We A&R it. We, you know, work with the artist to find the right mixer, to find the right producer, to find the right mastering studio, to make sure it's, you know, mastered in high def digital audio, you know, making sure that the production of the vinyl is on track and correct, coordinating the test pressings and, you know, taking the meetings with iTunes and pitching Spotify and pitching licensing and, you know, some of our artists want to do co-writes. So when we put on our publisher hat, we, you know, help coordinate writing sessions, you know, connecting with other artists and producers for potential collaborations.
What artists are you working with? Are you helping right now?
So right now we have two artists signed to Swoon City Music, Blonde Ambition and Zuli. We released albums, full length albums from both of those artists last year. They're both available on vinyl. And available anywhere, you know, you consume music. Zuli's on tour right now. We're going to South by Southwest next week with them, and also to scout artists. And so those are the two that we directly work with right now. But through the studio, so our office is located inside of a recording studio here in Brooklyn. And my two co-founders and I, we run the studio as well as the label. So through the studio, we work with a variety of artists who, you know, need things from just tracking vocals to, you know, more fleshed out album productions. So, yeah, we're pretty well connected, which is another thing that us as a label we bring to the table, is working connections and getting our music and our artists in front of, you know, reps at all of our potential partners like iTunes, Apple Music, Spotify, Amazon Music, and so on and so forth.
What do you look for? Because you said you're going to go to South by Southwest, different things like that. What do you look for in terms of artists? And are you seeking out artists, or is your like inbox full with, you know, requests from artists to work with you?
It's sort of both. Okay. We get submissions pretty often, but we also get a lot of submissions from people that we know and trust to, you know, at least be working with good music, you know, managers and agents and lawyers and even our own scouting online blogs and other outlets. But the thing that we look for most in artists and writers is the song, writing a, you know, a quality song. Our little general rule of thumb is, after one listen, can you sing it back? And so that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, we're looking for pop songs. You know, you could have a pop song arranged as a rock song, a rap song, a country song.
Right.
A good song can be arranged in a variety of ways, and it'll still work. It'll still be memorable, which is another thing we look is, you know, is this memorable? Is this, you know, are they bringing something to the table? whether that be, you know, their own spin on a typical song structure or melody, or, you know, some interesting new way of, you know, making that come to life. And then, you know, a certain believability of an artist that what they're doing is, you know, creating that real magic for somebody. And I think that's what artists do, is take, you know, great songs and then make them come alive and make people believe the author behind them.
Let's say at this point, let's go ahead and talk about, because I mean, let's go ahead and check out some of one of your artists, Zuli.
Cool.
So get an idea of the, you know, the type of thing that you guys are kind of looking for, at least the type of songwriting. So let's check it out. This is Zuli, and it's a track called Blaze on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
I shouldn't have to tell my baby when to behave. She treats me so bad, but I know that she won't change. It's breaking my heart to have to push her away. She'll give you a love, but then she'll take it away. So what's your excuse? Now that your love is gone, you wanna choose. I never seen the same face that I knew. It hurts me so bad, but I just can't make it through. So what's your excuse?
Okay, now you work with, right now you have two bands. You've got Zuli and what was the other band called again? Blonde Ambition.
That's right.
Yeah, and how did you end up working with these two acts?
So Blonde Ambition, we were old friends with his manager.
Okay.
And Blonde Ambition started recording some songs that wound up becoming the album that we released. So they had that on a little playlist on SoundCloud, and we checked it out, and they were really cool. So we ended up having, you know, many conversations with Blonde Ambition, his manager, and, you know, what he was trying to do and how we could fit into that picture. We wound up signing him a year and a half ago or so at this point. Zuli, we had heard through a friend who runs a music blog, and he knew we were looking for artists and was like, hey, check these guys out. We caught a show and they just blew us away. Zuli's live shows are just incredibly precise and their harmonies are amazing. And they just bring a ton of energy and great vibes.
Yeah, when I listened to the preview tracks for them, I heard, now, you know, I'm showing my age a little bit, but I really kind of heard a throwback to the Beach Boys with the way with what they were doing vocally. I thought it was very very cool.
Absolutely. You can hear the Beach Boys influence in them very clearly, I think. But they also have the if you see a show, it's a rock show. They really have this driving energy, and, you know, people have their hands in the air and are jumping around, and it's a lot of fun. So yeah, Zuli was like, we saw them live and just, you know, it was a love at first listen kind of thing.
How do you deal with this? Because I hear a lot of people complain about this in the industry, and I just kind of want you to address this, is the fact that, you know, and I'm just going to put out there the mantra. Nobody buys music anymore. So how do you guys, where's the ROI?
Well, so yeah, music sales aren't the, you know, the greatest revenue generator for us, but we do generate revenue from music sales. You know, like Zuli and Indie Rock especially, they sells a lot of vinyl. Which is, and it's been an interesting trend over the last 10 years or so, the rise of vinyl, and it's still niche and it's still like not billions of dollars. But Zuli's on tour right now and we're reporting vinyl sales at every show that they play. Cool. So that is an important component of the connection from Zuli to fans, that they want something to take home with them. Whether or not they put it on a record player, you know, they can download the MP3 versions, but the album artwork and just having that piece in your hand to take away from a show, I think is really important for, at least for Zuli's fans, and Blonde Ambition too. But we also, you know, we license the music to film and television and then streaming, which, you know, also doesn't pay the electricity bills, but is growing, and we see a lot of positive signs there, and it is generating some revenue, at least more than straight ahead piracy.
Let me ask you, of course. More than, you know, we're making more money than piracy. Let me ask you, because you touched on something earlier, and I wanted to kind of get back to it for a second, and that was, you said that you negotiate with iTunes, and maybe I misunderstood or misheard it, and Spotify. So can the artists do that? Can they say, we want a little more?
No, we don't necessarily negotiate those deals.
I was a little confused on it. I just didn't know
So at least from our side, the rates that we get from the streaming partners have been negotiated through our distributor.
Okay.
Which is Caroline Music, which is owned by Universal. So in that respect, that's sort of all been taken care of, or already those negotiations happened before we set up shop. What I meant earlier was that we pitch the editorial teams at those partners, and we, you know, pitch for playlisting, which has become a very important and growing, you know, portion of music promotion. So that's what I meant earlier.
Okay. And you have this, you are a subsidiary, are you or not, with Universal?
We're not owned by them, but they are a distribution partner. So they help us, you know, put the records in stores. They deliver digitally to, you know, Spotify and Apple Music and all that. And they help with promoting to those teams as well.
I got you. Okay. So you do have a little bit of, shall we say, industry muscle in there as well. So it's not just, you know, you guys are just completely, you know, doing something on your own. So that is a reason why, in my opinion, why somebody may want to work with you, because of some of these other connections that you guys have business wise, that as good as an artist might be and as much as they can do on their own, they may not necessarily have.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, we have the resources available to us to really make something happen.
And this is just from your time being in the business and getting to know people over the years.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. All of the above.
I got you. So I tell you what I want to do now, because I got a lot of musicians that listen to the podcast.
Sure.
Just can you throw out a little bit of free advice? Because and I know what I've discovered working with artists and marketing my own music, et cetera, is there really is no like one model.
No,
you know, everybody's kind of like, you know, so what would you say? What would you, you know, you run across, you're talking to an artist who's really talented. Let's assume that the music stuff is, they got their stuff together. They can play, right. They can sing, they write cool songs. You know, it's good stuff. You know, they understand their niche or whatever. So what would you say? What sort of advice would you give to people out there?
I think you got to be ready to work. I think if you have the songs and you have the music and the talent and everything, that like you need to work. You know, even if you find success, that you need to still be prepared to work. If you look at like the artists that have the best selling albums, you know, the number one hits on the radio, they're also the ones doing every talk show, doing every piece of promotion, you know, available to them. They're putting in the time, they're putting in the work. So like it's not, you know, the goal shouldn't be I get signed and then, you know, everything's taken care of. It's like you get signed and you better be ready to work twice as hard.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's plenty of other artists that are willing to do that work. And, you know, that some artists don't love doing the promotion or doing, you know, being ready to do anything beyond write the music and perform it. You know, you got to be ready to do that over and over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And that it's tough. It takes a lot of hard work and it takes a lot of elbow grease.
Yeah.
Determination and all of that. So it's hard, but I would say that you got to be prepared to work and work harder than anybody else. Work harder than anybody on your team, because nobody's going to work harder than you.
For you in your own business. That's right. Why don't you go ahead and let everybody know where they can find Swoon City on the internet.
So yeah, our website's swooncitymusic.com. You can find music from Zooli and Blonde Ambition anywhere music is consumed. Otherwise on social media, we're at Swoon City Music. Hit us up. And I believe we have a submission email on the website. But otherwise, you can go to braintrust@swooncitymusic.com.
Awesome. All right, Ned, thank you for popping in today and kind of giving us a lowdown on the independent record label side of the equation here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problems. I got to do a little business with you. So can you hang out on the phone for just a minute while we wrap up the podcast? You got a minute?
Okay, no problem.
All right, guys, you've been listening to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. This was my talk with Ned Sedlak of Swoon City Music. They've got a couple of artists right now that are very, very cool. And they're looking to do more with the right people, but you have to be willing to work. All right. There's no free ride. This isn't like, you know, it was in the 70s and 80s. You got signed and then you sat around and did a bunch of cocaine. That's not happening these days. Okay. So check them out, though. Swoon City, I'm all kidding, all seriousness. Go to swooncitymusic.com and there's all the jumping off points there to the social media and everything. And you can check out the artists that they have. Guys, you've been listening to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Our website, again, is ludinirockandrollcircus.com. Check back often for great stories with people like Ned and the different artists that we've had here on the podcast. If you'd like a little behind the scenes stuff, you'd like to get behind the scenes, you'd like to get in the trenches with me on my own musical journey, check out LouLombardiMusic.com/innercircle. LouLombardiMusic.com/innercircle. There's all kind of great freebies there, exclusive things that I do with, in addition to my own original music, working on remakes of great classic songs and some songs you may not know as well. And you can get in on the whole riffing action there and give me some feedback as we go along, work on the new record. Find that all at LouLombardiMusic.com/innercircle. It's been interesting talk today. Ned's obviously very knowledgeable from his years in the business. He's connected. He can help you. But like we said, you've got to be willing to work. You want to go to SwoonCityMusic.com and check it out. Guys, thanks so much for hanging out with us. As always, I just want to remind you one more time that no matter where you go, if you're East Coast, West Coast, it doesn't matter. You, my friend, yes, you are the revolution. Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. We'll catch you on the next podcast. Yeah.